Are you ready? All those who've been left behind. So, there was this beautiful couple, and they were both 70 years old, and they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Hallelujah. Anyone else celebrated 50 years? Oh, 50?
No.
I'm going to say, you need to pray for us. If we look like that after 50 years of marriage, then, you know, we're doing very well, very well. Anyway, they were celebrating. Who? Peter and Enid. How many years? 59. That's my age. Wow. My goodness. So if you need prayer for your marriage, go to Pete and Enid. They'll keep you going. And anyway, they were having their celebration, and they got back home, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared before them and said, you can have whatever you want because you've been so faithful to God and so faithful to one another. And so, ladies first, the angel said, what do you want? She says, oh, I want to go on a cruise round the Caribbean. And whoosh, there were the tickets. There you are. Tickets for both of you. And then he goes, oh, well, you know, I love my 70-year-old wife, but I really want her to be 30 years younger than me. And the angel goes, oh, yeah, no problem. And he became 100. You better watch how you pray, Pain, so what you want God to do. Okay, the cup of blessing. Let's go. I just want to, just a number of things that are just really hammering home in my heart at the moment. And I worked so hard on Friday and to get a good message, well, reasonable message. And then suddenly it just changed and I had to work overtime to just really write down the things that I believe, receiving from God. Have they all got it? Have Pete and Enid been invited to the newcomer's meal? Yeah. The early church devoted themselves steadfastly to four things. The apostles' doctrine, in other words, to receive teaching from the leaders of the day. That's why I believe we need to keep receiving. We never want to get into I know it all mode. You ever met a Christian? Whatever you say to them, yeah, I know that. God showed me that 50 years ago. And whatever it is, we always want to be receiving what the Word of God says, because so much now in our society is counter to what God says. That's why I need to keep washing. The Bible says the Word washes us. Amen? It's like a washing. So we need to keep receiving the teaching of the Bible, of the apostles, and fellowship. So many times when I see someone drifting into backsliding, very nearly always is they start removing themselves from fellowship with their brothers and sisters. Someone may have blocked you in the car park today. In fact, looking around, probably someone did. It's only they. Who came in last? Right, they're the ones to grab. Oh, okay, talk to Wayne if you're blocked in the car park. Here, coming. But listen, whatever offense, Jesus said this, offenses will come. Hello? You don't have to put that on the fridge and confess it over your life every day. They just happen, okay? But we are devoted, continue steadfastly in what? Fellowship. Amen. You don't have to do this alone. There are brothers and sisters around you who love you and care for you and want you to break through. Amen? And that's why be devoted, be continue steadfastly in fellowship. And then the fourth one is the breaking of bread, which is the communion. I believe that's what it's referring to. Nearly everyone would say that's what it's referring to. It is something we need to be devoted to. When I was a young Christian, I went to a church and we were the happy clappies. We almost, if we had a chandelier, we would have swung on it just to prove our critics right. The holy rollers. And we would take communion sort of as and when we felt like it. But I believe the early church, it says they met in the temple courts to hear the apostles' teaching and from house, breaking bread from house to house. Daily. Now, I believe we should break bread regularly. And in this church, we are breaking bread virtually every week, unless it's a celebration or there's another reason or baptism where we have lots of visitors or whatever it is, because we believe it is a key element to the Christian life. Amen? And in prayer. It's been great to see how the prayer meeting, so much worship, and in the life groups, prayer, we're doing prayer at the moment, how we are growing deeper and deeper into prayer, both individually, but also corporately. Amen? And so the early church was devoted to these things. Today, I want to talk about the importance of faith in taking communion. It's not just a religious tradition. It's not just something we do because it's Sunday morning. It is something we do because God is present at the communion. Amen? Not physically, not in the sense the bread becomes Jesus, but I believe spiritually he is present, and that's why how we take communion is really important. Do you know, for many years I grew up in the church of different strands, and no one ever taught me how to take communion. Isn't that amazing? Maybe they did in your background, but in my background, it's not something I heard about. Well, I'm going to share on that today. Is that all right? Are you okay? It's all right. I haven't put a vestment on. Don't worry. Paul said this, "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you." So he got it by revelation. "That the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Wow. So we've been talking last week. We did some illustrations on the power of the blood of Jesus. That blood has never lost its power. Amen. It delivered you from darkness to light, just as ash was delivered from, who was it? I can't remember. Darren. Yeah, sorry, Darren. And came into the light. God's blood is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. Amen? The first thing I say is the communion was initiated for Jesus in a moment of great pain. He not only had the cross before him, but on the same night that the betrayal took place, he took the bread and the cup. Some folk kind of teach when everything's perfect, then that's a good time to take communion. I want to tell you, you may be going through battles, you may be going through trials, but whatever you're going through, don't let that stop you taking communion. Amen? The same night he was betrayed, it was not a perfect circumstance. And I want to tell you that God prepares a table where? In the presence of your enemies. This side of eternity, there will always be demonic forces, evil forces that want to disrupt your relationship with God. But in the presence of your enemies, God prepares a table. And that's why one of the words for the communion is the Lord's table, the covenant meal. And in the middle of that, and let me tell you, you won't see it in any pictures. When Judas decided to leave, it actually says Satan entered him. Not a demon, but the enemy himself. That's horrible, isn't it? The enemy was lurking about, but they still took that communion. Hallelujah. Listen, the enemies may be having a snipe at you, trying to condemn you, trying to confuse you, but you can still sit at the table of the Lord. Amen. And in the midst of this betrayal, Jesus gave thanks. Can I just encourage you? You know, the word Eucharist literally means the giving of thanks. You see it outside high churches. It's a thanksgiving for what Jesus did. Amen. And so in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the chaos of the nations, God says, give thanks. Give thanks for what he has done. Amen. Whatever your circumstances, give thanks. Whether you're the enemies, the things that the enemy has been throwing at you, give thanks. And then he said, take, eat. He broke the bread. Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to... And then he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Nearly all the reformers in the Protestant Reformation believed that God was present in the communion. Not physically, but spiritually. It's the Lord's meal. It's the covenant meal. Blood has been shed for you and for me. Amen. Not the blood of bulls and goats. They could only cover sin. They were only tokens of what was to come. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when you take communion today, if you're a true believer in Jesus, you can leave this place with a clear conscience. Amen? It should never be done lightly. It's the Lord's table. It should never be done out of tradition. It's something we do by faith. Amen? That as we break bread, we are appropriating, we are receiving, we have it in Christ, but we are receiving afresh all of the provision of the covenant that God made at Calvary through the shedding of his blood. Amen? Both Anglicans and Methodists and many other groups declare there's an impartation of grace in the communion. Hallelujah. That something, just as I know a number of people, when they were baptized, they had some kind of besetting sins or some kind of bondage that they were still gripping onto. But in obeying the Lord, in that sacrament, they went down and they came up. Something broke off them. Amen? And if you're a believer in Jesus and you haven't been baptized, let us know. The waters will be ready. Amen? For the early church, for hundreds of years, they all acknowledged Christ's spiritual presence in the communion. And actually, the centerpiece of the service was the communion. That's not true in many churches today. And I know in coming to KCC, you know, back in London and with all the riffraff, you know, we just did it once a month, and sometimes we'd forget. In coming here where you break bread every week, and I remember when we went into lockdown and we did the live streams, I really felt the Lord impress on me, break bread as a church online every week. And God put his hand on us. I believe there was a protection on us. Something happened. Hallelujah. Life, now, for some of you, you know, animal rights activists, you're just going to have to forgive me, okay? The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Sometimes we're preaching a bloodless, crossless gospel, and it's no gospel at all. Life is in the blood. And I've given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Do you know, sorry if this is, you know, you're going, In our world, we see blood as a sign of death. In the Jewish mindset, blood is life. Hallelujah. You can see where I'm going here. Life of God. Jesus shed his blood that we may have life. Amen. Now, I'm sorry, you might have to put an 18 thing on the live stream. It's a strong Jesus. Where did he lose most of his disciples? Well, not most, sorry, some of his disciples. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. For whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as you know the story, many of the disciples turned from him that day, and he turned around to Peter and said, do you want to go too? And he said, no, you have the words of eternal life. Now, what I'm not saying is Christ is physically present in the communion. Please understand that, okay? But it is symbolic of us feeding on him, abiding with him. There is an encounter with him. And Jesus said these words. And do you know what I think? I think most of those disciples just didn't get it. It's like, what was that? Have I got to bite his arm off? And what they did is I think they followed Jesus, not fully knowing. And that's why I believe in, as people come to know Jesus, we can't expect them to get it all in one package. Sometimes a lot of the disciples didn't even know he was the Son of God until the end. But the day dawned, I believe, in the Passover meal, that Last Supper where Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Hallelujah. That he was saying, what I mean is, you need to allow my blood to wash you clean. Amen. He is the bread of life. You need to receive from him. He is the Passover lamb. Those Passover lambs were slain every year over every household. And he was saying, I am the Lamb of God that's going to be slain. Amen? And so it shook everyone up. But what it's talking about is encountering him, appropriating the blood that has been shed. I've noticed churches that preach on the cross and churches that preach about the blood, which is what the early Pentecostals did, have the real power of the gospel. Christianity is not do-goodiness. It's about Christ's redemption, his transformation. And the cross is foolishness to the world, but to us who believe, it is what? The power of God. That's where the power is. And Paul says, may I never be ashamed of the cross. Amen? Paul said, in Corinthians, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? For though we are many, we are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Other words for that word communion, is it not a sharing of the blood of Christ? Is it not, the actual word is koinonia, which is fellowship. Is it not a fellowshipping, a connect, is it not a participation? Thank you, I get my first amen bark. Oh my. I would love Milo to come, but you wouldn't hear a word I said, I'll tell you that. The cup of blessing. The cross is where we receive what Jesus died for. It's not just going to a nice charismatic meeting. It's coming to that place. It says it's a communion at the place where we break bread. It is a participation. It is a sharing. It is a koinonia, fellowship of that blood. So when, I'm jumping ahead of myself, when you break bread, exercise faith that you died, that I might know your forgiveness, that I might be justified just as if I had never sinned. Amen? When you break bread, you know, his back was torn open that we might be made whole. I know countless people who have received his healing touch as they break bread. Amen? It's a participation. It is a sharing. Amen. Luther, when the early reformers were discussing this, he inscribed on a piece of wood, "This is my body." In other words, Christ is present when we break bread. Only one reformer said it's just remembrance, Zwingli. And I won't go into details on that. Death came into the world because Adam ate something. What did he eat? He ate the apple. Life comes because we are partaking of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we partake in faith, we are receiving an impartation of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Death came through the apple. Life comes as we partake. And I pray as you take the bread and the wine today that you appropriate everything that God died to give you. Amen. Don't just go, oh, yeah, yeah, thank you. Oh, mom, mom. No. You come to the table with reverence and with thanksgiving. Do you know the word? There's various words we use for communion. One is called the Lord's table. One is called the covenant meal. And, you know, if what does a table symbolize? It symbolizes a meal, doesn't it? If I say, come and have a meal with me, I'm not just going to shove a McDonald's burger at you and say, there you go, off. What happens when you come to a table? You have fellowship. So when we come to communion, to the Lord's table. Now, in the old days, it would be part of a fellowship meal or a love feast, they called it in the early church. And we would talk, there would be fellowship, and then we would break bread and take the cup together. But what I'm saying today is the Lord is inviting you to the Lord's table. And when you take that bread and you drink that cup, God is saying, I want you to encounter me. Amen. Hallelujah. So you're coming in faith. This is the Lord's table. This is the covenant meal. And this is why he said, this blood is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever two tribes make covenant, they always celebrate with a meal. It's a meal. He says, come to my table. Amen? Are you with me? Are you there? We need to see that the Lord is, we need to ask the Lord, reveal yourself to us in a fresh way as we take the bread and drink the cup. Let me give you an example. The road to Emmaus. And Jesus is walking with the two disillusioned, disappointed, frustrated disciples. And he pretended, well, he looked like he was going to carry on walking. And they said, come, come, abide with us. That's where you get that beautiful hymn, abide with us. Amen. And Jesus sat down at the table. They still didn't know it was Jesus. He was at the table and he took the bread and he blessed it. Sounds like the Last Supper, eh? And he broke it and gave it to them. And immediately their eyes were open and they recognized him. They recognized him at the communion. My prayer is, as you take this cup and drink and the bread, recognize, Jesus, this is the Lord's table. This is my moment of fellowship, of impartation from you. I recognize your presence. I thank you for the cross. And Lord, I remember what you've done, but Lord, I just want to appropriate, receive afresh everything you hung on that cross to give me. It changed everything. The moment they recognized the Lord and he disappeared from them, they suddenly came alive. All their disappointments were shattered. And what did it say? They went and immediately they went back to Jerusalem to tell their brothers the Lord was risen. Hallelujah. When you encounter Jesus, it changes everything. Everything. It just, you, all your disappointments are smashed and blown away, and suddenly, and it says the day was far spent. In other words, it was coming into evening. You don't know, there weren't street lights back then. They would have run probably back in the dark to Jerusalem. They were so excited. I pray as you break bread, and I encourage you to do it through the week. Carrie and me, do it regularly through the week. Break bread, you recognize God is present as we break bread. Amen. Amen. May he open our eyes as we break bread. May we participate afresh of all that he died for. Some of you maybe have come in with doubts. Has God really forgiven me? Maybe you've come and you feel like I'm not worthy to take the communion. Let me tell you this. If you repent and turn to him, and you believe in Jesus, whatever you have done, the blood is bigger and greater and has made full payment. Amen? And that's what you appeal to. We overcome by the word of our test, by the blood of the Lamb. We are appropriating the full payment that has been made. Someone said this. As you stand before the court of, just imagine you're standing before the court and there's the enemy accusing you and there's Jesus standing in front of you, and the judge says, what do you plead, guilty or not guilty? What do you plead? I'll tell you what I plead. I plead the blood of Jesus. You are guilty, but there's a greater plea. I plead his blood. That washes, doesn't cover sin, it washes it away. Hallelujah. And so through that precious blood, our guilt is paid for. It is full payment. Amen. I know some of you know these scriptures inside out. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. You are paid for, spirit, soul, and body, fully. Amen. Do you know, some of you probably have paid your mortgage and the mortgage company, hallelujah, cannot repossess your house. Amen? And I won't ask who, but it's yours. It's been paid for. You were redeemed. What does that mean? You were brought out of slavery and bondage. Not with silver and gold, but something far more valuable, the precious blood of Jesus. And he brings you into the Son of his love, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The power of the blood, let it give you a deep assurance today. Please don't leave this meeting with your head held low. You may feel like you've come in and I'm not worthy. You are not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. But in Christ, the payment has been made. And we receive his forgiveness. The blood is greater. We have peace through that blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. Some Christians, they receive forgiveness, but spend the rest of their lives miserable and guilty, not knowing the peace of God. I was like that for many years. trying to earn the peace of God. That blood means he has made peace with you. Amen. That a holy God can have fellowship with you because of the blood. Wow. God wants you to walk through the streets of Newbury with your head up high. Not in arrogance, but with the peace of God that is given to you through that precious blood. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to just say, if we believe that Christ is present spiritually as we break bread, that means we need to approach the Lord's table, not looking miserable. I'd been to some communion service and I thought it was a funeral. You know, the communion actually means the thanksgiving. Christ suffered, and if he didn't suffer, we wouldn't be saved. So we come with thanksgiving, acknowledging the price he paid. Amen? I'm so grateful. But I come with thanksgiving to God. And it says this, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. I never got taught this. And so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. And so, in other words, following that time, let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment upon himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord is present, I believe, in communion. And that's why we, now the Corinthians had set a very low threshold. They got drunk at the communion. By the way, you can't get drunk at our communion. Even if you had all the cups, it wouldn't get you drunk. So you're safe from that one at least. But they abused, they drank in an unworthy manner. And so it didn't bring blessing. It's the cup of blessing. It brought judgment. So I'm just throwing it out. But what I would say is this. Take it with thanksgiving. If you've sinned, that doesn't mean you don't take communion. It means you come right now and say, Lord, forgive me. Your blood is greater than my sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Amen. And I didn't do anything terrible this week, by the way, just to let you know. I got a bit annoyed when Brentford lost, but that's God understands. If he got me to support Brentford, he'd know we'd lose more than we win. So he's just got to give me a little bit more grace in that situation. No, I'm joking. Please don't take everything I say too seriously. Where were we? What were we? Unworthy manner. I would say don't take the cup out of routine. Whatever's not of faith is sin. So even if you just say it as just remembrance, will you take it and remember? But I believe Christ is present. And as we take the cup, it is a participation, a sharing of the blood of Christ. Not physically, but spiritually. That's what nearly all the reformers believed. So take it in a worthy manner. Not looking miserable, because Christ died for you to enjoy his salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Something happens when you take communion. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And I was thinking, why don't we proclaim the resurrection? Because the resurrection, the victory was not the resurrection, the victory was at the cross. The resurrection is a confirmation of the victory that had already been won at Calvary. Amen. It says all of the handwritings of requirements, all the 600 and something laws, and if you drove more than a mile to the church today, you've already broken one of them, were paid in full, nailed to the cross. The Bible says in Colossians, at the cross, he defeated principalities and powers. All of their accusations and opposition to you is removed when you appropriate who God says, what the blood of Jesus has done at the cross. Amen. It's a full victory. And the last thing Jesus, one of the last things he said is, it is finished. I've completed the redemption for you. So when we, maybe a few of the lies of the enemy have been buzzing around your head this week, when you take this cup and eat this bread, you're proclaiming, enemy, Jesus has won for me. Amen. His death has defeated you. His death has paid in full for everything for me to stand before a holy God. It says you are complete in him. Doesn't mean your journey has arrived at the journey, the end of the journey. You're not fully mature, but in him you stand before God, washed in that blood. You proclaim his death. That's why you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. I'll bring it into land. Jesus carried the power of God. Amen? And one day he was walking, he had the power of God. It says there were multitudes surrounding him. So just like if you're trying to get on the tube train in the rush hour, you're bumping into people. Amen? I've stood for half an hour under someone's armpit. And they did not use deodorant, or at least they hadn't for a long time. It was not a happy experience. You're so blessed out here in Newby. And they complain, I had to wait 5 minutes before I got to the junction. Well, move to London and then you'll understand. But listen, there were all these people bumping into Jesus, but none of them received his power. But there was one lady, and God just dropped faith into her heart. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. Amen? Lots of people touched Jesus, but they didn't receive. This lady, by faith, because Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And when she touched Jesus, Jesus said, the power has gone out of me. She recognized someone had touched him in faith. And she said, who touched me? And the disciples are going, Jesus, there's about half this crowd has touched you. But what Jesus meant is, who touched me in faith and received my healing? This is what I'd say. There'll be people taking communion today out of ritual, out of routine, out of tradition, but they're not really engaging their faith and receiving what God wants to give them. When you come to communion, and this is why I'm so sad that for much of my life, I didn't really know how to take communion. It was just something we did. And I acknowledged Jesus, I acknowledged my forgiveness, but but I didn't really receive. For many believers, the moment of encounter was as they communed with the Lord. They ate the bread, and as they drank that cup, they reappropriated the covenant that God had made for them at Calvary. And so my encouragement to you, and maybe you got to go with what you feel comfortable, but it's the Lord's table. It's the covenant meal. It's a moment where Jesus is with you and you are with him. And as you break that bread and as you drink that cup, I thank you, Jesus. Your blood has spoken for me. It's given me my sonship. It's given me my gift of righteousness. It's given me eternal life. Lord, your blood forever speaks louder than the blood of Abel. And Lord, as I take this, Lord, I receive. It's communion to me. What it's sharing with me what the blood has purchased, what the body of Christ has purchased. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. This is a moment where I sit at your table and receive afresh what you've done for me. Amen. It's a holy thing. That's why we call it the Holy Communion. Amen. It's a special moment. For the early church, it was the centerpiece of the service. And so, right now, as you come, has everyone got the elements? If you haven't, please just lift your hands. And somebody, somewhere, there's someone there. Please, thank you so much, Liz. Some of the folk here, if you are a believer in Jesus and you received him as Lord and Savior, you are welcome. This is not our table. This is the Lord's table. Amen. And there's a lovely couple just there. And as you know Jesus, you are welcome to be a part of this. And maybe this is a tough time in your life. Like with Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he gave thanks. So first of all, would you just say thank you, Jesus? Just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you gave everything at that cross. That your blood, the life of God, is in the shedding of your blood, Lord. And we partake of you today. Lord, we thank you. The cross may seem foolishness to those who don't understand the gospel, but to us it is right now the power of God. Hallelujah. He took the cup. Sorry. On the same night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you are the bread of life. Thank you, we come to your table. We look into your eyes. And we say thank you for this, the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Lord, for this covenant meal where we know we have a covenant sealed in your blood with you. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his victory for your life, until he comes." Let's proclaim as we take that cup. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes what as snow. Just one more time, let's sing that. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Just see yourself washed clean. We thank you, Lord. It's not of our ability, it's not of our works, it's all of your work on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. Emma, where's Emma? Where's Emma? There you are. Let's go out rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank him right now. It's a thanksgiving. The Eucharist means thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. And those on the live stream, you just receive that touch from him. Thank you, Jesus. Let the blood cleanse your conscience. Let the blood release everything you from everything that grips and binds you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.